Thank you to your mother for bringing you into the world. That she's here to this morning.
Is the mother here?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, wow.
And special thank you to Marty Zeitlin also, amongst anyone else who's helping bring Masada here. And also to Rabbi Rebbe, Reb Chaim Kramer, and BRI, everyone who's in any way Mishtata. Special, if you don't mind, I'm just going to offer that the class should be Refu Shlema to Eliezer Ben Dvorah and Dvorah Bat to Yocheved. We're in Torah Zayin, in Tinyana, and we're trying to close up really the second paragraph. We've been digging as deeply as I guess as we can get away with in the tachlis, the real mission of the greatest tzaddik, Moshe Rabbeinu, which was to help all Klal Yisrael. He only revealed this after 40 years in the Midbar. Ata hareta ladas. You have been shown to know. We've looked at this many times, and we're just looking at, I think this is hopefully the last week before we go into paragraph Gimel. You have been shown to know Shashem hu Elokim. Yudke Vavke, he is constant. He is Elokim. He is the constant power of all powers. That's what Elokim means. It's very important to translate the Torah accurately. He is the constant power of all powers. You know that. You've been shown to know that from what you experienced in Yetziat Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. And the Pasuk ends off, Ein Oid Mulvadoi. Nothing else exists. This is the Das that the Tzaddik Emes really wants to imbue in us in such a way that it becomes a goal in life, and we try to close the gaps between that das and everything that keeps happening in our personal lives, locally and globally, that interferes. And one way to know if we're getting closer to that das is that Ein Oid Milvadoi, then nothing else exists, is literal. That means to say, yes, I'm married, but this spouse is actually there representing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This child, my children, are representing, is Hashem speaking to me through these people. I've quoted before from Rav Breita, a huge Breslov Chassid. When I say huge, I don't mean the waist size, because I have no clue what the waist size was. But he was huge in his das of understanding the intention behind all of Likut Imran's themes. And he broke them down into seven Amudei Amuna. And in the second one, he offers that Hashem speaks to us through especially our family. He speaks to us through everything that we ever experience in space and time. And all the people that we interface with, Hashem is speaking to us through them. But most especially our spouse and our children. So he actually brings that there in the second Amud. And a litmus test, a way to measure, am I imbuing this das, that Hu HaElokim, Hashem Yudke Vavke is Elokim, and Einon Mevadai, is that when I get angry, anger is a Avodah Zarah, it's equivalent to that. Obviously, Einon Mevadai is not what's going through my mind, because I'm giving power to the person who's making me angry. And in that sense, I'm actually falling into the trap of the opposite of Einon Mevadai. So anger is the enemy of Emuna. Emuna is Einon Mevadai. And frustration, resentment, sinner, kinna, or every midah ra that are really all taking place inside thought, they're all middahs of the mind. We've been through that before we learned this Torah together. All middahs of the mind that are ra, that are negative, are enemies of my emunah. They are enemies of what the Tzaddik Emes wants to imbue in us, that Ein Oid Mevadoi, nothing else exists except Hashem. The worst of all those enemies is complaining. That's the worst of all. And we're going to see soon why that's so. I think we have touched upon it before. At this particular point, I want to share with you in Torah Lamed Gimel, in the first Chelek. Torah Lamed Gimel, we started to quote from it. It's a very important Torah. I would love to learn it from the beginning, but just for the sake of time, especially we want to make progress in moving forward in this particular Torah Zion. But in Torah Lamed Gimel, we started looking a little bit about something. I'm going to ask you if we could look at base. Look at base. We're just going to, I'm going to fly through different parts of ice base. You've got the second paragraph in Lamed Gimel. V'tzarech ledas. It's necessary to know. Tzarech is more than necessary. It's really, it's a need. It's a, this is, there's a real need to know. Shimale kol haaretz kvodoy. Hashem fills the entire planet Earth with his kavod. Sichas Aran in Nun Beis actually has a different expression that Hashem's kavod is screaming out from everything that we experience in this world. It's a quote from Pasuk, from Yeshayahu Perek Vav. V'leis ata pani minei. There's no place that is void of Hashem's presence. He's quoting from Tikkuni Zohar, Nun Zayin. V'ihu memale kol almin v'soivev kol almin. He fills all the worlds and he surrounds all the worlds. There's nothing outside of Hashem. Even someone who's busy 8 hours a day with business and the people he's interfacing with are non-Jews. Akum, you can, if you want, translate as Oivde Kuchavim, which means they have no shaykhas to Emunah. Lo yachol hitnatzel. He cannot give the excuse when he goes to therapy and says, you know, I really want to be a frum Jew, but this is a terrible environment for me. No, 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 no. He cannot save himself alone and say, E.F. Shah Labayd is Hashem Yisbarov. I can't serve God in this career. Machmas avios, so, excuse the drama. Machmas avios v'gashmios shenofil tamid alav. From all the crazy things that he is constantly exposed to in terms of the gashmios, all the crazy ads and the people he has to interface with, whose lives are filled with, I'm going to make money, etc. He can't use that as an excuse. Because our sages of blessed memory have already revealed to us, everything in the whole world of Gashmias. Geshem is rain. Gashmias comes from rain. Everything is physically originates from Shemayim, from rain. Even the languages of the other nations, we looked a little bit at some examples that even English words originate from Lashon HaKodesh. Yachol limsoi bahem elkus. You can find Hashem's power there, divine intelligence. That's what I'm just translating as elkus. Ki b'loy elkusai, because if it weren't for Hashem's elkus, El means power, elkusai means his power. Without Hashem's divine intelligence contained in the item that you're interfacing with, whether it's a table, whether it's technology, whether it's a person, or whether it's what you're hearing, ein lahem shum chius v'kium klal. They actually have no life force whatsoever, or the ability to maintain that life force, k'moy shekazel, because the Pasuk says, in Nehemiah, this is in Perek Tes Pasuk Vav, v'ata mechaye es kulam. You give life to all of them. The full pasuk there is describing that Hashem fills all the oceans and everything that's in them, and the oceans are it's a huge, vast, vast magnitude of space. Hashem fills outer space. Hashem fills this planet, and He gives chius to all of them. So levad shiachius ve'elikus hazeh sham b'tzimtzum gadol b'miut. It happens to be that the more megushim something is, the more it's less obvious that Hashem is hiding there, but otherwise, without his chius, it will be impossible for it to exist. And therefore, nobody ever has the excuse to say, I can't be Oved Hashem in this marriage. No, Hashem perfectly calculated this person with their background, their personality, and their pluses and their minuses, and their weaknesses and their strengths for me. These children Hashem has blessed me with, I did not choose their neshamas, Hashem chose them. And even if you want to say on a neshama level, we actually did choose them, doesn't make it enough, Gemina. My bechira is to blossom where I'm planted. In this family, in this career, in this neighborhood, in this zip code, in this extended family, etc., etc. No one can ever have an excuse. And this is what Rav Nachman starts off. Sarach ledas. You have to know this. Hashem's everywhere all the time. I can never have an excuse to say, I can't flourish. I can't grow. Person grow, doesn't mean they should stay there. Maybe they have to move on. Hashem gave us a mitzvah of gittin if Chas v'Shalom doesn't work. Rav Nachman was very, 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 very strong. Don't divorce your first wife. He was very strong on that. Reish Lamed Dalet in and Reish Lamed Gimel, I think, in Sichas Aran. And you'll see it also in Likutim Aran and Tinyan. I think it's in Sadi, in Sadik, the letter Sadik, number 90. So going down all the way to Gimel, and we're going to ask you to look a few lines above where it says, again, V'ata mechayes kulam, it's about 8 lines above, U'mishamata yachol l'dabek da'atz mechabro yisbarach. Wherever you are, you can medabek, you can cleave, glue, super glue yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'lashuv elav b'tshuva shleima. And you can do teshuva shleima dafka in this difficult, and some might say abusive, relationship. It doesn't make a difference where a person is. It's their mind that makes the difference. Ki lo yirachoy kehi mimecha. Hashem is never far from you. And he quotes the pasuk, Dvarim Lamed. It's actually pasuk Yudalet. What's the pasuk say there? Lo yirachoy kehi mimecha. Loi b'shemayim hi. That's exactly right. Kikaro ve'lecha adava. This item, which actually Rav Nosson's quoting Ramban. So it's a machlokes, if you want to call it a machlokes. I'm not sure if there really is any real machlokes there. But Rashi is saying this is going on Torah. The Torah is never far from you. And Ramban is saying it's going on. Tshuva, thank you. And that really I'm suggesting they're really the same thing. Lo yirachoka, it's not far from you. Why not? Because the Gemara tells us, I think it's in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin, it tells us there, Ika ha-hokma, tachlis ha-hokma, tshuva ma'asim tovim. And Rashi points out, hokma is referring to Torah. So the whole purpose of Torah is that I do teshuva. So it comes out that it's really not a machlokes between Ramban and Rashi, because the whole purpose of ki kara ve'elecha adav moy, this item, tshuva, learning, Torah, is extremely close to you. Ki kara ve'elecha adav moy, where is it? Beficha, it's in your mouth. Just say, I'm sorry, Hashem. Say the words of Torah. Each one of it is nitzkes. Uvil vavecha, and it's in your thoughts, la'asos, to do it. It's never far from you. So Rav Nachman is quoting that pasuk davka. Ela shibim koim kasham rabu halavushim. It just happens to be that where you are right now, it's so insulated with so many different clothings, so many outer garments, that I can't see Hashem in where I am. Ela shibim koim kasham rabu halavushim. But kol ma shadam hoylek mimidrega l'madrega. But the more we undo the garments, who miskarav yoseh el Hashem isbach. We get closer and closer to Hashem. Then he's able to know at Hashem Yisbarach b'havanas yeterah. Then he can really know with much more understanding. It's no longer, it's not emunah pshuta, it's understanding that's based on yediyah. The higher we go, the levushim fall away more and more and more. The closer we get, so to speak, to Ein Sof, until Ein Sof, we'll never get to Ein Sof. Ein Sof is Hashem himself, the Ein Sof. And the more light we are able to expose ourselves to, the more we take away the dark coverings. V'nitzmayat ha-tzimtzum, then Hashem's constriction, so to speak, is less. He's more obvious. V'azhu mekarav yosel Hashem sbang. Then we get close to Hashem. V'yachol, here's the key words I wanted to come to. V'yachol lehoiv et atzmoy im Hashem yisbarach be'ahava yiseva. I can come to an extraordinary love. And here it says, lehov et atzmoy, of oneself. And that's not something we usually talk about, because it's like, it sounds a bit, I don't know, Christian, or it sounds a little bit flaky. But no, if we are really, truly, chelek eloka mima'al, then the true love I ought to have for myself is for the fact that I am an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramak, Rav Moshe Kadov, gives an astonishing moshel. I'm going to embellish it slightly. Imagine you go to the Louvre in Paris. You go to the gallery of art there, and I'm not suggesting you have to see the moaning Lausa, whatever her name is, it's got about 17 layers of paint. Leonardo da Vinci was an astonishing designer and inventor, as well as incredible artist. And it is actually quite astonishing. If you get close to it and you look at different angles, she's always looking at you. And at different angles, you can actually come to the conclusion she's sad or happy. I'm not going into that now, but the point is that the Moshe Kedava gives an astonishing example of, let's say, an artist, a master painter, is hiding behind the painting, and people are coming to admire the painting, and some people are astonished by this incredible work of art, and others who maybe don't have that much of a
appreciation.
And haven't really fine-tuned their ability to pay attention to the extraordinary details in this painting, they will actually denigrate the painting. So there's nothing special about that at all. And they walk away insulting it. Now, Moshe Kedava, blessed memory, asks a very interesting question. How does the painter, who's actually the master painter behind, he's hiding behind, no one can see him. How does he feel when someone admires his painting? This is good. He has good taste. But how does he feel when someone insults? What a pathetic attempt at a painting. And says some unkind words. How does the painter feel? He might not feel so good. Or he might have such a strong self-impression of his own self-esteem. Actually, I've got very poor self-esteem. It's not a very good one. It could be that this master painter really has a very strong self-esteem, and so he knows that it's a work of art. So he actually feels sorry for the guy who doesn't appreciate. You can't see. You know, haval on you. So says Rav Moshe Kedava, every human being is tzelem Elokim. A Jew has an astonishing level of tzelem Elokim that we've been privileged with, having stood at Har Sinai and Bizera Yisrael. But the fact of the matter is, that's what he says, is real Avas Yisrael, that our Ava for others, and therefore also for ourselves, is that I'm a chilek elukam imal. So how can I insult me? How can I insult others? So there's hispoitis when I can talk about Hashem with my weaknesses and my mistakes, and some of them are real avoinas. I've really, really messed up. But not to pull myself down, but actually to ask Hashem, help me, love me, because you're inside me. So Rav Nachman is saying here, v'yachol lehavit atzmo im Hashem yisbarach be'ava yisera. He didn't put the full stop. I think in America you call it a period. He didn't put the period after the word yisbarach. He says be'ava yisera. Now you can have an extraordinary love for yourself. And we talked about this, I think, last week, that the main emunah, the Rav Nachman was pushing when Rav Nassim was shocked when Rav Nachman said this, is the main emunah that one is lacking is my emunah in myself. And he explained it a little bit more. The emunah that I'm lacking is that I don't really trust implicitly Hashem loves me. I don't implicitly believe Hashem really is machshiv, really considers every little effort I make as extraordinary. And especially in the last generations, or generation before Mashiach, the narrative, I'm no good. The narrative, I'm damaged. The narrative, I'm scarred. The narrative, there's no hope for me. This is all exactly 180 degrees opposite to the message that Rav Nachman is showering us. Ein shum yish ba'olam klal. It's an illusion. And if someone tells you, no, depression is real. I know people who've killed themselves from depression, committed suicide. They're in lunatic asylums because of depression. Rav Nachman is here to tell us it doesn't start that way. It's an illusion. It's self-induced. And we're living in a generation that literally is feeding, in the name of curing it, is feeding, I'm no good, I'm scarred. I'm not marriageable material after what I've been through. And I go on and on and on. And Rav Nachman's telling me the das he wants us to get into ourselves is Hashem is in me. And therefore I've got to love me. I've got to, because Hashem's inside me. It's impossible for me to have any existence without Hashem. So if Hashem's inside me and I'm alive, I'm awake, I've been given another day, that's the biggest proof he hasn't given up on me. So I'm just going to skip now to Dalet, paragraph Dalet. Dzeh yedua. Sha'atara hainu amidas. He talks about midas. Midas means measurements. I'm not going into midas as in spheres. Over here, it really means more measurements. Hainu hayamim, the days. Days are measurements. They're measurements of time. Shora behem avaso yisbarach shemoi. Hashem saturates. He's resting, but in a saturated way, inside time and space. Everything we experience in terms of everything that's measurable is really Hashem's love for us. As in the Zohar, in Balak, Kuf Sadik Aleph, in Bracious Memvav, Yoimam Yitzave Hashem Chazdoi, during the day Hashem commands, very strong language, Hashem commands his chesed. All day long, the sun is shining, it's pure chesed. It's snow, it's chesed. It's rain, it's chesed. All day long, chesed kel kolayon. In David HaMelech's words, in Nun Beis in Tehillim, your chesed Hashem is all day long. Sha'a chesed hainu ha'ava. This is the key. Chesed is really ava. Rav Nachman spells it out. Chesed, we translate as kindness. It's an accurate translation, but it's actually a camouflage. All chesed is a pure camouflage. Because when you peel away the label kindness, what's behind it is, I love you. Why is your wife, she makes your bed, and she makes your favorite food, she makes your favorite recipe. That is an act of kindness, but what's peel away the kindness? She loves you. Every act of kindness that we do for our children, until they become independent, around about 36, 40 years old, until they're completely independent and they finally get married and they're not supported by me, then that is all chesed. But the chesed is just a cover-up for a different statement. You love me. And so Rav Nachman really spells it out. By the way, Rabbi Yitzhak Bell, a personal friend of mine from over almost 50 years, he is the author of the Tehillim. What's the title of it? Tehillim for every day, something like that. For every he translated Tehillim based on
Chazal. The one that they made Tikkun HaKlali out of.
Yeah, Tikkun HaKlali. Yeah, Yitzhak Bell, Trevor Bell. So for everyone, something like Tehillim for everyone, Psalms for everyone. So I use his translation a lot because I see that he was very, very careful to identify what does Rashi, Radak, Mitzudas, and other Rishonim say is the actual Taich. So he often completely avoids the Christian-based translation. So it's very, very helpful. And whenever, almost every time, that he translates the word chesed, it's love. Because Rav Nachman, that's how he's telling you is the definition of chesed. Chesed is really love. Chesed, hainu ha'avash, kemosh kasuv. Now he brings a text proof, and we did quote this before. Yirmiyahu perek lamed aleph, pasuk beis. Avas olam haftich. I have loved you, and avas olam. Olam means, help me.
World forever.
Forever. How long is forever?
Forever.
Forever. There's no starting point, no ending point. Avas olam haftich. I have loved you an eternal, immeasurable, unending love. Al Kane, the rest of the words which Rav Nosson put in parentheses because it's so important to understand. Many times throughout the Gemaras, it will quote you a pasuk, but for the sake of saving ink and time, everyone knew Tanakh Bel Peh, so it wasn't necessary to finish the pasuk. But very often, the Gemara is actually exploring something that in order to understand the reason why the pasuk is brought, so to speak, as a support, is in order to know the part of the pasuk that's not quoted in the actual Gemara. So when it says v'chulu, you really have to check it out. But over here, Rav Nosson saw, I got to put it in, because Rav Nachman is assuming we know the rest of the pasuk. Because the rest of the pasuk is really the revelation. Al ken mashachtich chased. Therefore, Al Kain is therefore, that means a continuum, because my love for you is unlimited, that's why I have showered down upon you, I draw down upon you, Al Kain Mashachtich Chesed, I bring down upon you kindness, and that kindness is Chesed Kel Kolayim, all day, 24/7, 365, 120. So, I'm not going to, Hashem wants us, Davka, to be Davak to Hashem through everything that we come into contact with. I'm going to drop a couple of lines. Umachmas ahava she'aves Yisrael, because of Hashem's extraordinary love for us, ratza shid b'kuboy ve'ayahaveyu oisai imoy mizeh ha'olam agashmi. He dafka wants me to love him in a world that is a constant distraction. It's a constant distraction. Things are happening. People are saying, oh, not always what I want to hear. And therefore, I could easily mistranslate that as, Rebbein Shalom, if you really love me, why are you letting this happen? And therefore, Hashem Dafka wants me to demonstrate the greatest love possible is that when things don't go right, I still interpret you as loving me. And therefore, he now points out, because Hashem loves the Jewish people, Hashem wants us to love him, imoy, with him, because he's everywhere all the time. Hilbish el kusoy b'midos haTorah. That's why Hashem clothed his midos, his measures, in the Torah. And which Torah are we talking about? Tarik mitzvahs. We're talking about Tarik mitzvahs. Tarik mitzvahs are the headlines of Kol HaTorah Kula. Ki Hashem isbarach shi'a b'dasoy she'al yedei ha-mitzvah hazois nuchal lahasik oisoy. So when Hashem says, Ata hareta las, through Moshe Rabbeinu, I've shown you, because I gave you Tarik mitzvahs, Har Sinai. And this is what you've been studying for the last 40 years. That's what we were doing all day. I shouldn't say all day, because the Rambam son of Ram ben Moshe, in his Sefer Maspik Lo Yivdei Hashem, in chapter 10, which is the name of that chapter, is Hispoidus. This is a Rishon. So he talks about Hispoidus Chitzoni and Pnimi. Chitzoni, he says, refers to external Hispoidus, is when you're alone with Hashem outside. And he's referring to the mountains and valleys, forests, away from people. And the Pnimi is the extent to which I start to really take seriously the only thing that exists is me and you. Really, you and me, Hashem and me. And that all the rest is a brilliant, brilliant camouflage, clothing on the outside to cover up Hashem's talking to me through everything that I experience, everything I interface with. So he actually claims there that we would study, if you've you'll probably remember the Gemara in Eruvin Nun Dalet, Ask Kesad Seid HaMishnah, which is, Rashi points out, what's it mean? How did we learn the Tersh Baal Peh in the Midbar? So he points out that we, Moshe Rabbeinu would teach one Ptucha Stuma, it's not a chapter, it's really like a paragraph inside the Sefer Torah. You know, there's gaps in the Sefer Torah, where there's a gap all the way of a margin, all the way to the end of the margin. That's called Ptucha, it's open all the way. Stuma means that there's text at the beginning of a line, gap, and then text at the end of the same line. So the Ptuchas and Stumas, the purpose of those paragraphs was in order for Moshe Rabbeinu to be mispoinen on the Tosh Baal Peh Hashem gave him at Har Sinai, so that he knew what to teach Klal Yisrael. That's the first Rashi in Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. There's two times Rashi brings out that the purpose of those Ptuchas and Stumas is for Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore I need to learn a Kal V'chomer from Moshe Rabbeinu, who's called a Hedyot. Why is he called a Hedyot? Because comparison to Hashem's Das, Moshe Rabbeinu is a Hedyot. So Kal V'chomer, how much more so to us, that we should be mispoinen on the Torah Shabbat Peh. How did that work? Moshe Rabbeinu would teach in his tent, just to Aaron HaKoyen, what that paragraph, Ptuchot Stuma, with the Torah Shabbat Peh on that. Then Aaron moved to the right side, and his sons came into the tent, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught the same paragraph with the Tosh Baal Peh. They moved to the side, and then the Zkenim came in. Then they moved to the side, and then Klal Yisrael came in, all the Shvatim. After that, Moshe Rabbeinu, who had already spoken three times the Tosh Baal Peh in front of Aaron, and two times in front of his sons, and once in front of the Zkenim. Now the Shvatim came in, and they heard it from Moshe Rabbeinu, and now Moshe Rabbeinu stands to the side, and Aaron tells over the same perek, the same paragraph, with the Tosh Baal Peh in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, so that if there's any misheard it and didn't write it, hear it right, Moshe Rabbeinu was there to correct him. Any cautious people would have, Moshe Rabbeinu was right there. And then Aaron moved to the side, and his sons taught the same perek, the Tosh Baal Peh, on that perek, on that parasha. Ptuchan Stuma. It actually is called a parasha, but we usually call a parasha the weekly parasha, but that's really called Sedra, but I'm not going into that now. But the point is, says Avram ben Moshe Maimon, the son of the Rambam, that in the mornings, this is how we learned the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Then v'shinantam levanecha, which correctly translates not as teach but repeat. Repeat the Torah Sheba'al Peh you heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, his sons, and the Zkenim to your children, and the rest of the day, what were they doing? He says something astonishing. We went out of the Machaneh into the Midbar and had his hispoedus with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And what are we doing there? Rebbeinu Shleilam, I just learned Basam Chalam. Help me to be aware of state situations. I just learned Kibbud Av Eim. Help me to be aware of the opportunities of Kibbud Av Eim. Please don't make me mess up on Kibbud Av. It's a huge, huge mitzvah. And everything that we learned. So Tariag Mitzvahs is the manifestation of Hashem's Ratzon in the Torah. And each mitzvah is a measure. I'm not going to into now, but Rav Nachman gives an example of tefillin. It's very precise. How big, how small, and how many parshas, what words to put in the parsha. Every single ois has to be exactly located in the correct place, in the right sequence, and no one ois is allowed to touch another ois. There's a lot flying in halachas. In the writing of a Sefer Torah alone, there's over 6,000 halachas. It's astonishing. So the Torah is measures. Everything is a measure. But what is not measured is Hashem's love. That's Ahavas Olam Ahavtich, and that is saturated in Tariq Mitzvahs. That's what Rav Nachman is basically saying. Tariq Mitzvahs is one big excuse for me to realize you love me. Ad Ein Sof. So the last line before paragraph Hey, Ki Aza Yitgale Ahava Shibadasoi. Hashem is revealing his Ahava in his das. What's his das? The Tariq Mitzvahs. It's all about revealing to us how much Hashem really loves us. So, what does it mean to love yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean to love yourself with Hashem? That's what Rav Nachman is asking us to do. So, let's figure out, what does Hashem love? Does he love tzedakah? Also, I'm going to love tzedakah. Does he love mishpat? Also, I'm going to love justice too. Oh, do you love chesed? Yeah, Hashem's only chesed. Good, so I'm going to love chesed too. Whatever Hashem loves, he loves us, then I've got to love me. And I'm after Recha Kamocha applies to me too, because it says Lereacha. I'm also a Jew, so I have to love me too. So Lotisna etachichel bilvavecha. I'm also a Jew, and I'm not allowed to hate me. I'm not allowed to hate me. So even though I'm down on all the mistakes I made in the first marriage, the second marriage, the first set of kids, the second set of kids, I messed up with my health big time. But Hashem says it's never too late to start again. Start again. So because his love is unlimited. So if his love is unlimited, then there's no time or place that I can't reconnect. Even if I think I'm far away, Kikarov elech adavim oid bificha. How far away is Hashem? Teshuvah, one hero, it's one thought away. How far away is reconnecting to Torah? Ki karo ve'elecha hadava me'oid b'ficha. It's right in my mouth. Say the words. So, does Hashem love Torah? Ooh, Hashem loves Torah. Okay, so I have to love Torah. Does Hashem love tefillah? Yes, in fact, Brachas Davav, I think, tells us that Hashem actually davens himself. There's a whole tefillah there from Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. What is that tefillah? So Hashem loves tefillah. Oh, so I'm going to love what you love. So that's what I think Rav Nachman is telling us to have. He wants me to love whatever Hashem loves.
Who does Hashem pray to?
Sorry?
Who does Hashem pray to?
Good question. He's really praying to himself, because he actually says there, Yihiratzon milifonai, that my rachamim should be miskabe over my kaas. My
Why don't you just convert?
So I think what might be being communicated here is Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, when he was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he had this so to speak, revelation of Hashem as tefillah. Hashem wants us to understand that his rachamim is Ein Sof, and therefore, no matter what I might do to Chas V'Shalom cause him kas, I should believe that everything matters. Every little effort I make, Hashem is going to say, "Good, you're helping me increase my rachamim over and above my kas." Rabbi Yitzhak Chutner in Pachad Yitzhak, he has a fascinating insight. He says, you know, the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kodashim, how long is he there for? Not very long. If he would have one Hesach Hadas or one Hihur over an Aveira, he would die on the spot. So you have to be really well trained in controlling your mind that you don't let anything else in except Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he's in the Kodesh Kodashim. And one of the things, he only asked for three or four items. One of them is, Reben Shalom, after the Chag, and it starts raining, and the roads are going to get really muddy, and it's going to slow down the people returning. Please don't listen to their tefillahs when they say, don't make it rain, it's all muddy. So the Rebbe says, what is going on here? There's so many things to daven for. That's on the list, and it's a short list. You're only there for a few moments. So he answered something I thought was like mind-blowing. Who is it? Who is this Yidl who's walking home and it's all muddy? It's a simple Jew. Says Rebbe Chutna, it takes the greatest man on planet Earth, the Kohen Gadol, in the most holy place in the universe, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the most holiest of time, Yom HaKippur, to stop the smallest request from a Jew. My shoes are going to get all muddy. My wife's not going to be happy when I get home. Please, can you hold off the rain till I get home? And that is what Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, I think, was telling us when Hashem says, I want you to know, I daven, but I want you to know that so that you understand the power of tefillah. You are here to change my mind. You can't change God's mind. Yes, that's the system he set up. And Rabbi Nachman understood this fully. The Tzaddik Emes, Moshe Rabbeinu, understood this fully. And that's why he knew he would not stop, because he knew tefillah works. Period. It works. It took Hashem to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Perek Gimel going into Perek Dalet in Parshas Vayeschanan, Al taber elai, al tadaber elai, oid b'dav azeh. Don't say one more word. Because you know, after 515 tefillahs, you know, because I told you in Shemayim, that tefillah works, that there's nothing I can't give you. So if you ask one more time to enter Israel, I have to let you in. But if I let you in, you will build the Beis HaMikdash. If you build a Beis HaMikdash, like the Mishkan, it can't be destroyed. Because your Tzaddik Emes, who's 100%, not 99.9, 100% pure Kavanas, what you create can't be destroyed. And therefore, Hashem says, do you want me to let you in? And if I do, you'll build the Beis HaMikdash, and then I have to destroy the Jewish people and not the Beis HaMikdash when they are disobedient. Moshe Rabbeinu backs off because he knew the power of tefillah. So, what we learned a little bit last week in Atahareta Ladas is Ein Oid Milvadai really means that I have to almost close my eyes to this world. Why? Because this world is one huge distraction. In fact, Rav Hershel pointed out last week, you know, that when we say Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, it's all one. Yud Kei Vav Kei is Rachamim. Elokeinu is Din. But it's really Echad. It's all the one source. It's only coming from you. You put me in this family for the good and for what seems to be not good, but really, it's coming from you. If it's coming from you, it's pure Ahava. If it's pure Ahava, there can only be L'tachlis HaTov. It must be, I can really grow a lot here. And if I run away, if I escape this marriage, I escape this this neighborhood, but if I take the same mind with me, what am I growing? What lessons did I take with me? So says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, I put you here, grow. Yosef HaTzadik is stuck in jail, he grew. Stuck in Potiphar's house, he grew. Wherever you put me, help me to grow. So we say Shema Yisrael and we cover our eyes, and we close our eyes and we cover our eyes. It's like a double wrapping because and when I say Echad, I really, really want to try and hook into the message that everything that's happening around me is really coming from you. And so because my eyes lie, my eyes are lying all the time. My eyes lie because I think that this person's trying to hurt me, and Hashem's saying, Rieti, I just don't get you. If I show you what you're in debt with all your Averas, and I'm trying to give you a discount by giving you a little bit of irritation from this person over here who's insulting you. Yeah, but it's my wife. No, but it's my son. It's my daughter. Hashem says, I'm trying to help you not have to pay the price in Gehenna. I'm trying to help you become a stronger you while you're in this world. Please let go of what your eyes see and what you think you hear. Cover your eyes and say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem Echad, you're the only one that's behind this. My eyes are always lying. It's a big problem. And the news is always lying too. Most of the news is mostly sheker, and the little bit that's true, I could probably live without. But the big problem is, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, and we say in Eicha, Perek Gimel Pasuk Lamed Ches, Mipi Elyon Lo Teitze Haroros. The bad stuff is not coming out of Hashem's mouth. I create that because of my interpretation. So we got great tzaddikim like Nachum Shkamzu, who he was not blinded by this world. And Rav Nachman tells us that we need emunah, that this is an illusion. There's a few places he tells us. We quoted it inside a few weeks ago in Nun Aleph in Sicha Saran. Rav Nachman tells us, got a daven that I should not be fooled by this world. Please Hashem, don't let me be fooled by this world. This world is brilliantly designed to fool me. It's a setup. It's just a test. The people in my life are just there to squeeze me, not to hurt me. God, you sent them to squeeze me. It's not them. It's you. So who's the person I should be going to? Don't keep going to therapists and mental health practitioners unless they are showing you to look for God. And if that's not their training, find someone who has made a decision that Ein Oiz Milvadoi, nothing else exists, is the mission statement Hashem gave through Moshe Rabbeinu that is meant to echo in the ears of every Jew in every matzav that we ever find ourselves in. Because Ata Harei Teladas, you experienced it. And when the neshama, whether it's in therapy or whether it's from a parent or from a spouse or from a child, when the neshama hears, you, God, are talking to me through this person, now the neshama gets excited. Because Kolzman, I'm blaming people, complaining, if only I had been born in a different family. If only I had a better Rebbe, Mara, and I'm blaming all the people in my education. It's just absurd. Because all I'm doing is delaying growing up. I'm delaying becoming who Hashem wants me to become. Because if he's squeezing me, that's the biggest act of confidence. He knows I can squeeze out of myself the good that's in me. But Kolzman, I keep blaming, complaining, denying, excusing, accusing. I'm just delaying my own growth. And in some cases, Hashem says, look, Rieti, I'm done with you. I'll give you another chance in the next Gilgal, but I really hope you do better than now. I don't want to come back down again. So then get it right now. And Hashem doesn't give up until after 120. So Rav Nachman in Torah, in Sicha Saran, Nun Aleph, he's quoted there, don't let this world fool you. It's a few places, and in Sicha Saran in Vav, it famously tells us the Yetzirah is like light beams. And I think, oh, it's real, it's beautiful, it's a light. And I try to grab it. I think I've got it in my hand. Grab it again. No, it's just a light beam coming from the sun, reflecting through the window. There's nothing there. And it says, all the tivers of this world are like those light beams. Don't run after them. Let go, move on. Because the only thing to really run after is the true light. And that's the or of Hashem that is expressed through his tzaddikim, his Torah, his mitzvahs. That's where Hashem wants me to focus, because that's where we feel our growth. That's where we actually experience. I'm growing because I'm davening to you, and we're doing it with pshitas, we're doing it with tmimus. No hidden agendas, just as is. In Sicha Saran, Reish Chaf Beis, I'm going to go through this quickly because I've got lots still to cover in the last 15 minutes. Rav Nassim points out there that someone once complained to Rav Nachman that he was really suffering from his emunah. He's going up, down, up, down, up, down, in and out, in and out. So Rav Nachman told him words of such comfort that whenever he struggled, he remembered this nechama, and it was a pure nechama. It was completely settled him down. What was that nechama? So Rav Nachman interestingly said, the whole purpose of Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim Ves HaAretz, the whole purpose of creating the entire universe and this planet was for a Jew to struggle with emunah and be miskaber, and that's already worth the whole universe. If you want, you want to look at inside Reish Chaf Beis. Reish Chaf Beis in there's a few copies here. Reish Chaf Beis. Shemati b'shmoy shidibe im ish echad shehaya loy bilbule emuna. A person was confused with emuna. V'chizek toiz Rabbeinu Zal. Rav Nachman gave him a chizok. V'amar loy. And he told him, she'ita, there's a, he quotes here from Sefer of Yaiba, Al Pasuk Gracious Barah. Shekol hithavus ma'aseh b'reishis. The entire existence, the creation of ma'aseh b'reishis, hayarak b'shvil ma'aseh tzafa Hashem yisbarach, is only because Hashem was expecting sheyihu anashim shiulahem yisurin. There's going to be people who suffer b'inyan haemuna, hakadosha, machmas habilbulim v'hakfirus ha'elim al machshav ha'sam rachman al-san. There's going to be people in the world who will suffer from their confusion with regard to emuna in Hashem. They will fight against these thoughts. They'll get strengthened. So the person who's suffering and struggling, he actually is giving a reason for why Hashem says, oh good, it was worth it. It was worth it all. Yes. Sorry?
Means that. That now he's actually giving...
That's a good point. Yeah, I think you could argue that. He becomes a partner, so to speak. He justifies. He becomes a partner. The earlier day tiburim elu nitchazek zehaish, that person was very encouraged, mo'oid extremely, tamid constantly, because eis shabau alav bilbulim. When he then had the pop-up thoughts come in his mind, he was able to hold them down and not let them take over his mind because of this comfort. I don't have to worry because you, Hashem, no matter how many mistakes I make, the mistakes are the reason why you put me here. So I could deal with the mistakes. Ki ein Adam tzadik ba'aretz hasheh yaseh tov lo yechata. There's no such thing as a human being that is only a tzadik and never makes a mistake and only does good. That doesn't exist. That's Koheles. Chalcha mekol Adam. In Perek Zayin, I think Pasuk Chav. She'ika abriya haya b'schus ha'emuna. So a person should never be down, no matter how much their doubts are. Hashem wants it that way. Now I get to Sikha number Lamed Hey in Sikha Saran. I'm not going to look at it all inside, but if you want, you can look at it. But basically, it's a warning. And he says, even though I'm giving you a warning, we've mentioned this, I think, in a previous class, not in the gear to Torah Zion, that Hashem, Rav Nachman says, even though I'm warning you that in the last generation or slash generations before Mashiach, the Nisayon of Emunah is going to be much greater than any other time in history. The Apikorsis is going to be so powerful. It'll literally be a tsunami of Apikorsis against Hashem. And we actually can see that coming up, besides the Haskalah movement. But today you have a serious movement that is making the claim, and this is being taught in the schools, evil, Lucian is being promoted as the actual history of the development of mankind, and we don't actually come from an Adam origin. No, we are either from apes or whatever amoeba that they want to claim we originate from, and there's still no missing link. The whole theory is a pure theory, and it makes no sense logically. Any veritable science will tell you that, scientist. I've actually shared with you some of the evidence of that. It's really mad. But they're worse than that. They're even claiming that maybe you're not a male, maybe you're a female. And you shouldn't decide now because you're too... You can make a choice later. And children are being taught this in school, in kindergarten. I don't want to go into any detail, but I actually know, I work with probably the most conservative, non-Jewish preschool trainers, and I will not send teachers anymore to them. They're called Montessori. I won't send anymore because that many of them are liberals. They've became so liberal that they actually tell teachers who are in training that you mustn't call children boys and girls. You have to call them people because they haven't decided yet which gender they are. It takes a Donald Trump to tell everyone publicly, if you've got a certain male organ, that makes you a male. If you haven't, then you're a female. Duh! But they're promoting assisted suicide. They're promoting Let's not. It's a waste of real estate to bury people in the ground, burn them, cremate them. They're promoting every evil that is based on a premise. There's no sanctity of life. Because there's no sanctity of life, we get to decide what's called alive and what's called dead. And if a child after 24 months is not desired by the parents, then disposing that child is not called murder, it's called abortion. The child's alive, he's 2 years old. They're trying to come up with new definitions of when's alive. Because when you remove God from the equation, everything's permissible. So the atheism, removing God from the equation, is so crazy rampant that Rav Nachman is warning in Torah, in Sikha Lamed Hei, I'm warning you now, you've got to strengthen yourself in Emunah, because that's the only rope that you can hold on to when God is going to shake the world. That's the only rope that you're going to be able to hold on to. And this is not to frighten, on the contrary, it's actually to make us stronger for it. So Tamimus, Pshitus, which we talked about last couple of weeks, this is what Rav Nachman is screaming. He even admitted of himself in Torah Ayin Ches. One day maybe we'll see it, the famous Torah of Prostik, where he says, I came to all my madrigas from simplicity. And even the sophistication of fasting, he said, I regret doing so much fasting, because if I'd known that the fast track would have been hispedus, I wouldn't have had to compromise the physical health of my body by so much fasting. I would just spend all that time davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there's nothing I can't get from hispedus. So, and that was with Pshitas and Tamimus. According to Baal Turim, I'm going to share with you, Eila told us Noach, Ish Tzadik Tamim. We've seen this pasuk before. Noach walked with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was called a Tamim. Now remember who he was. He was considered the most brilliant man in history. He was the first inventor of the plow. He invented a number of other farming utensils that really changed the world. Now agriculture was much more efficient thanks to this one man. So he was held in the highest esteem. So when he's seen building a box on top of a mountain, and when asked, what are you doing? It's a huge box, 600 feet long, a couple hundred feet wide and 60 feet high. So, well, Hashem is going to destroy the world with a huge marble unless everyone repents. He said, yeah, right. Since when do you listen to the weather and says, look, if people don't stop all this crazy promiscuity in Los Angeles, then there's going to be 20 inches of snow. It doesn't work like that. So Noach gets the most ridiculous mockery against him. Everyone's laughing at him. You're supposed to be a brainy inventor. How do you come up with this incredible dream? And the only people who trusted him were his own three sons, his wife, and his three daughters-in-law. They were the only survivors of the whole marble. So everyone was making fun of him, but he was a tum. He took Hashem's instructions, B'tmimus, and he followed through on those B'tmimus. He walked with Hashem, Es Elokim Hisalech Noach. Says the Baal HaTurim, look at the Sofei Tevis of Es Elokim Hisalech Noach, the last three words. Elokim, last letter is Mem, Hisalech is Chaf, and Ches is Hisalech is Ches. So if you look at it, he tells you it spells out Chacham. So according, let me show you, if you look carefully, the Baal Turim on Bereshis, Perek Vav Pasuk Tes. Noach ish tzadik tamim haibaruz b'doris hab es Elokim hishalech Noach. The last letter of Elokim is Mem, the last letter of Hishalech is Chaf, and the last letter of Noach is Ches, and it spells the word Chacham. So according to what the Baal Turim is saying, you want to know what a real Chacham is? Someone who goes b'tmimus. Hashem will make him the biggest Chacham. The biggest chokmah is to know I'm not a chokmah. We're gonna get to that Be'ezvat Hashem, but it's a very powerful statement, and we know that it's actually a mitzvah deraisa. It's a mitzvah deraisa. Not everyone counts it, but the Sefer Haredim says being a tam, being tamimus, tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha, that is a mitzvah deraisa. It's one of tariyak. Sefer Haredim, Ramban, Rabbeinu Yonah, they all count it. Rambam doesn't count it entirely. He will also agree it's a deraisa, but it's not in the 613 count. But that doesn't make a difference. Practically speaking, it's a mitzvah deraisa to be a tam. So in the pasuk tamim tiyem shem lekecha perak yud ches pasuk yud gimel in parashas shoftim, what does Rashi say? Tamim tiyem im Hashem lekecha, his halach imoy betmimus. Walk with Hashem with tmimus. Take life at face value. Tzape is a very important lashon. Please don't follow the English translations. They butchered us. The titzape means to expect. And wherever you see the word tzadi fe, tzaf, it's always a rising above. Like oil rises above. Tzafon is in the north. Mitzpah Rimon, when you're high up and you can see down and you have a huge panoramic view. Tzvas. Anything with a tzaddik fei has the same concept. Sepita li Yeshua. It doesn't mean hope. That's ridiculous. We know it's going to happen, so you're expecting it. Even the word kaveh, Rahman al-Islam, is translated as hope. It means to expect. Very similar lashon. Kaveh comes from the word mikveh. Mikveh comes from kaveh. When you go into mikveh, you don't hope to come out tahor. If you've got no chatzitza, you expect to come out tahor. That's what suffering. It means we expect.
We expect.
Yes, we know. And if I don't see the answer to my tefillahs,
it's like the Ovi of Shomer Sadover.
Yes,
he's waiting.
He knows it's going to happen. It just doesn't know when. But he's waiting for when it will
die.
Yes. Utitzapeloi. So what's it mean to go with Tamimus? Expect Hashem to come through for you. Veloi tachko acha ha'atidois. Do not speculate tomorrow. The future. Don't speculate, New York is done, we're finished. Go with Tamimus. You still got mitzvahs to do. Don't waste your mouth on politics. If you have to hear it, find a way to turn it around. Rav Nachman was huge. He was so big that his own brother Yechiel couldn't understand. He was broken. That on Shabbos and then Motzei Shabbos, they're talking about the news and the politics and who's winning which war. And Rav Nachman is listening to all of this, and his brother couldn't take it anymore. He said, what's going on here? And Rav Nachman, what he did, he spent the whole night with his brother telling him what was going on in those conversations. Meaning, he would turn it into Torah. He did this all the time with his Talmidim. Motzei Shabbos, he would ask them, what's news? And then he would turn it into a Torah. Sometimes you say, oh, that reminds me, where are we up to in Sipuri Maisius? And he weave it all in. It was astonishing. He was helping us see that whatever you're exposed to, Hashem's hiding right there. There's nothing you can't turn into Torah. There's nothing you can't find vacus in. And therefore, I should never say, you know what? I can't learn here. I can't learn in this class. I can't learn it in this school. I can't learn in this yeshiva. If you're a big masbid and you love learning, you'll figure out a way. And if it really, you really have outgrown, I remember telling my Rebbe Chaim Kramer when I wanted to move out of Dvar Yerushalayim. He was my mashgiach, the mashgiach in the yeshiva, and the night mashgiach. And I told him I want to go to Gateshead. I had other reasons. The biggest reason actually was I was just going to make an excuse that I was going to Gateshead, but in between the two, I would go to Uman. And he helped me get there. I remember having that discussion with him, but he said, if you do stay in Gateshead, what you have to ask yourself is, have you outgrown everything that you can get from Dvar Yerushalayim, which was the yeshiva I was in before? So it was a very big limit to me. It's a very simple question. Have I really outgrown everything this yeshiva has to offer me? And if the answer is no, so squeeze a bit more. Otherwise, I've got to watch out. What am I running away from? That's something to seriously consider. So comes along, Rashi, and tells me, don't speculate the future. Be a tam, not in yesterday. Don't speculate and dig up yesterday. Ha'ava ayin, it doesn't exist, it's gone. Ha'atid adayin, it hasn't happened yet. The future's not happened yet. Ha'ava keref ayin, and what's happening right now is already over. Blink of an eye. So that's Rav Nosson quotes this from Pele Yoetz. We've shared it before. Daigam and I. So where's there room for worry? Hashem, you're running the world. Why am I worrying? As soon as I realize I've got worry, I should let go of it. That's what Hashem wants me to do. Elekol mashi yavo alecha. This is still the same Rashi on Tamim Tiyayim Hashem Elkecha. Whatever happens to you, Ela kol mashi yavo alecha, kibel bitmimus. That's what it is. Move on. Now, don't say, okay, now I can't learn. Now I can't daven. Now I can't. Get on with life. If you do this, you'll be with Hashem and you'll be in his chelek. He's actually, that's interesting. This is, I'm quoting Rashi in Shoftim, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yeah, Tamim Tiyah Meshem Elokecha. And what's it mean to be with Hashem and be with his chelek? So in the ultimate selection, I don't want to call it a selection, but that's what it really is. In the ultimate selection of life and death, at Chias HaMesim, which is going to take place after Mashiach comes, it's in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph through Gimel in Daniel. He tells us there that at Chias HaMesim, Rabim Mieshne Admas Afa, many, not all, but many people who are sleeping in the ground, meaning they're dead, Yakitsu, they will rise up. Eile L'chaya Olam, some of them will rise up and they'll be judged for eternity. They'll live for eternity. Ve'ele l'charafos l'diroin olam, and the others will have eternal derision, eternal shame. So Rav Nachman is telling us, you want to be with Hashem and his chelik. I'm warning you now, the rope is going to be very, very, it's going to be shaken very, very hard. The atheism is going to be very, very strong. Please hold on tight, don't let go. Rav Nachman himself is quoted, I think, in Siach Safek Kodesh. I didn't check the shows, but I'm sure it's well known to you. He said the Mashiach will die. When Mashiach comes, he's going to die. There's going to be a Mashiach Shel Yosef and a Ben Yosef and Ben David, and it's going to be going to be a huge Nisayon, because the first thought is, oh good, now Mashiach's coming, and he does. He, with his mouth, he actually wipes out our enemies, but he's going to get killed. And when he gets killed, what's going to happen to our emunah? So says Rav Nachman, nothing changes emunah. Nothing circumstantial changes emunah. Hold on tight, because then there's going to be a huge arousal amongst the Yidden throughout the whole world. Are we still going to be the Am HaNivchar, or is this the end? Now we lost our Mashiach, and those who will hold on tight and not let go of the rope, that they will experience the Mashiach Ben David. So hold on tight, don't let go, no matter what. Those who are maskil, they're smart, they use their seichel, and they will shine like the brightness of the sky. And those who try to bring the rabbim back to Torah, as referring also to Melamde Tinokes, they will be like the stars forever. So that's a very important, it's a very famous pasuk. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph through Gimel in Daniel, of what will happen at the end of days. And Rav Nachman in Sefer Midos, I'm going to close in a few moments, he says on the Ois Da'as in Chelik Aleph, so in the two Oishes there, Tes Zayin and Yud Zayin, Mi Shohelech B'Tamimus, anyone who goes with Tamimus, Naseh Maskil, Hashem will make him a huge Baal Seichel. Maskil, I don't mean maskilim. A maskil is someone who is able to use his mind and weigh up. Hashem, emunah, trumps everything. One guides himself with tamimus, he'll be able to make the right choices. And the other oy says, umishi yesh lo emunah. If you've got emunah, zoicha achakach la'avoid es Hashem b'das gadol. Emunah will lead a person to be able to serve Hashem with a very powerful, very strong das. This was all Rav Nachman's biggest, if you want to call it, message. Hashem's everywhere all the time. There's nothing you can't hear Hashem speaking to you. Even if it's Dvar Metalim, it doesn't mean I've got to spend my time listening to Dvar Metalim, but everything screams out, covered Hashem. So I'm going to close on this. The biggest sabotager, an enemy of our emunah, is complaining. It's the biggest sabotager, because my complaining, Rav Nachman says something to this effect in Mem Beis, in Sicha Saran. He says that complaining is really a complaint against God. I didn't say I'm complaining against God. No. If Ein Oid Mavadoi is what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to instill in me, then whatever I complain about, ultimately, I'm complaining about how Hashem is running the world in my perception, in my surroundings, in my interfacing. And so complaining is our biggest enemy. We see it in Teluno Sehem is the word that's often used in Psukim to describe complaints. And it happened when we came out of the Midbar. We started complaining to Hashem after 3 days, not enough water and not enough man. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to put it right into our faces. Do you know what you're complaining about? Says Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to give you the exact pasuk in Perek Tesayin, I think it is.
Oh, you like to know Sechem?
Tesayin, pasuk, yes. 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 Yeah. Exactly. Vayema Moshe, Petes Hashem Lachim Be'erev Basa Lechol. Hashem's going to give you meat in the evening. Lechem Baboke. You're going to get a delicious sourdough in the morning. Lispoya Bishmoya Hashem Etulun Nosein. Because Hashem's heard your complaints. Asha'atim Malinim Ale Alav. That you are complaining against him. V'nach Numa. You think you're complaining against us, me and Aaron? Loya Lein Etulun Nosein. Ki Al Hashem. Whoa. That's the first time we complained as a people, and Moshe Rabbeinu gives us the Musa right between the eyes. You're not complaining to me, you're complaining against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the following psukim, it's repeated again and again. And Tulun HaSeichem is a very interesting lashon, because from Tale means to hang. Lan, when you're hanging something, you're hanging it outside of yourself. It's not my fault, it's your fault. When I blame my wife, blame my spouse, blame my children, blame my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, blame my siblings, blame my upbringing, the zip code, what doesn't make a difference. When I fall into the world of blaming, I am blinding myself from Ein Oid Mavada. You know, Hashem's speaking to me through these people. So what does Hashem have to do? Turn up the volume of the Yisurin that maybe now I'll listen, maybe now I'll get it. And then when I go into another session and complain even more about this person, and whoever it is I'm complaining to empathizes, oh, this is really, really very, very painful. I'm so sorry for your pain. And validate my pain. Don't validate my pain. As long as you need to empathize, but get me out of it ASAP. Get me out as soon as possible and ask me, do you believe God? Do you believe in God? Yeah. I'm a from Jew. Okay, so do you believe in Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeah, of course. Well, when he told you, Ata Hareta Ladad, you know this, you experienced it. Ki Hashem Elokim, Hashem Yudkei Vavkei Elokim, Ein Oidun Levadai. So where's this really coming from? And help me surrender to Hashem instead of blaming, because when I blame and complain, I'm just not growing up. Because I don't have to change, everyone else has to change. Oh, really? So if my happiness depends on other things changing, people changing, guess how long I'm going to be happy? There's going to be other stuff that is bothering me. Stop bothering me. I'm the one who's my own enemy. So I'm going to close, and I really do mean it, on the Kli Yaka, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Imbracious. He says something astonishing. The Kli Yaka, you might know he was one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim of his generation. There's phenomenal stories told about him. His name was Shlomo Ephraim Eilelus. He's better known in Sfarim as Luntschitz. That was his last name. But he was a Sargonista, and he sold eggs. He was a Talmud Mufak of the Maharal, but no one knew that until many years later, when the Maharal died. He wrote in his Savar to the people in charge of the Kila to go to such and such a town and find someone by the name of Rabbi Ephraim Eilelus. And he's going to be my replacement. So eventually, it was a long story. They found him, but he was like a posh yid. And until they showed him the letter, and he burst out crying. The Maharal had passed away, and then he accepted. But it means he has to follow. So he became. So the Kli Yaka was written by him. So you're talking about someone who the Maharal claimed was potentially the Mashiach. So before the Maharal died. So the Maharal, well, obviously, the Maharal, the Kli Yaka tells us, and I just I quote it to you quickly because I want to really share this with you. So go on to, he says, Ki ha-Torah mefarsemet emunas ha-chidush ve'elkuso yisbarach. The Torah publicizes the reality of Hashem. The emunah publicizes it. V'Yisrael gam hu yeda lefasim mitzius Hashem yisbarach mitzad ha-kabbalah shikbilu ish mipi'ish Ad Adam Rishon. And we, the Jewish people, we have a Kabbalah, we have unbroken transmission of what I'm about to share with you. He says, "Bracious by Elokim Esa Shemayim Esa Aretz." We have an unbroken Kabbalah. Shirayas Olam Harev Ubanui. That we've Noach saw the world built and destroyed. V'hu Eid Ne'eman Bechidush Olam Ashehu Moifes Al Mechadshoy V'Nitpashta Kabbalah Zu Bezera Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. So he's going on the following. I'm going to share with you very quickly. Perek Yud Pasuk Hey. In Bereishis is the listing of Adam through Noach, 10 generations. And then you'll, when you follow the math, it's fascinating. Ramban, with a nun, brings this out in Perek Yud, Pasuk Hei, and he shows you Adam Rishon obviously knew his children, his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, all the way down to Lamech, who was the father of Noach. So Adam told the story of Gan Eden to all his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all the way down to Lamech, who was the father of Noach. Noach, my third finger, so to speak, Noach heard the story of Gan Eden from his father Lamech, who heard it from Adam Arishon. Yeah. Noach survives the Mabul, and he tells this story, now the two greatest events in world history, Gan Eden and the Mabul, to everybody, his entire generation, but especially Avram Avinu, who he knew for 39 years. Sorry, he knew him for 58 years. Seyda Olam, Rabbi Yosef ben Chalavta wrote Seyda Olam. He gives you a sequence of all the events and dates from Bryas Olam till the writing of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef ben Chalavta tells you that Avram Avinu knew Noach for 58 years. He studied with him for 39. I actually decided, many people say, where is that? I said, it's in Sefer Yasha. Vayhi Avram beveis Noach shloshim v'tesha shanim. He lived by Noach and learned by him for 39 years. Avram Avinu, represented by my fourth finger, so to speak, is separated from Adam Rishon by two generations. Avram Avinu heard the story of the Mabul directly from Noach, who heard the story of Gan Eden from his father Lamech, who heard it from Adam Rishon. So you got this unbroken Masorah of the transition of Gan Eden all the way down to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu overlapped with his son Yitzhak for 75 years. That's this chart here. So Yitzhak hears the story of the Mabul and Gan Eden from his father Avram Avinu, and Yaakov, his son, who overlapped with Avram Avinu and Yitzhak for 15 years, heard the same story. By the way, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yaakov Avinu? Shem. Shem was in the Teva. So you got another chain of transmission. So I'm in the same Ramban, Perek Yud Pasuk Hey. It gives you this transmission of we've got unbroken transmission, not only from Sinai, that's obvious, but even from Bryas HaOlam, all the way down till Har Sinai, you've got this unbroken transmission. Yaakov Avinu goes down to
Mitzrayim
and tells all his sons and even Paray and all his men about, and ministers, all about this unbroken Masorah from Adam down to him. Yaakov Avinu, represented by my fourth finger, because Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov overlapped. So that is counted as one, almost like one generation. So Avram Avinu is only separated from Adam Rishon by two generations. Yaakov Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim and he teaches everything he knows to all his children, but especially Levi, Kahas, and Amram, represented by my fifth finger. Amram is the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is only separated by four doiros from Adam Rishon. This is Chazal. Say the Olam, you'll find it also in Pirkei Rabbeleza, Perikav Vav, and you also find it in Gemara in Bava Basra, which talks about seven generations overlap from Bryas Olam till Tchias HaMesim. Because Elyonavi is still alive today, and he was a Talmud of Achia HaShiloni, who learned under Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you go with Pinchas Hu Eliyahu, then it's even more obvious why it's only seven generations, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the sixth generation. So from Adam till Eliyahu Navi is only a span of seven generations. The point is, we've got unbroken Masorah, starting from Adam Rishon all the way till today. And at Har Sinai, you've got millions of witnesses who saw. So Ata Hareta Ladas is literal. It's 100% literal. And all the emunah I do need to have when I don't understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and things happen that it's hard for me to fathom, and I might Hashem fall into doubt, that's exactly why Hashem put me into this world. Because the struggle makes the whole Bria worth the struggle. In the source of knowing that Tamimus and Pshitus is really what Hashem wants us to have, and his Tzadikim Amitim are the ones who teach us that this is the way to go. Don't be smart, and a hacham and speculate about the past. Don't go there unless you can pull really good lessons that make you stronger moving forward. But don't go there if it makes me bitter and resentful and hate my parents. You gotta be joking. Really? But Hashem gave me the parents. I'm rejecting the parents Hashem gave me. So who am I rejecting? Hashem, you know what? If only you consulted me. Let me show you how my life should have gone. Give me a break. Be a Yosef HaTzadik. Be a Sarah Imenu. Be a Leah. Be a Rivka, whose father was Besuel. Be a Rachel and a Leah, whose father was Lavan. Be a Rivka, whose father was Besuel. Be Sarah Shnira, who's married once, divorced. Second time married, divorced. A seamstress. She didn't get all down and say, I've got nothing to show for myself. I'm a nobody. She was focused on, Rabbeinu Shleilam, we have a problem. None of our girls know how to be strong in their munah. We got to give them das. Got to give them the ability to access text like the boys. And they immune them against Haskalah. And all the Rabbanim were against her until she finally got a bracha, which she didn't even hear herself. Her brother got it from, I think it was the Belzer Rebbe, Muslim bracha. Two words, Muslim bracha. That was enough to fuel her. She started with five kids in, I think it was 1905. By 1939, 39,000 students in the Beis Yaakov movement. No man in Kollel today would be here with were it not for Sarah Schneerer creating doiras of Mela, whose life is, I want a husband who's a Ben Torah. I want a husband who will become a Talmud Chacham. And she could have easily thrown in the towel and Ben Shleilam, why? Why me? I have a mother in you. Why are you doing this to me? If she had those thoughts, she pressed delete and moved on. Every human being is never relegated to a second class quality of life because of trauma. Give me a break. Move on, start again.
Everyone's invited to join us tomorrow for Reb Nosson's Hilula. We're starting at 7 o'clock. Rabbi Rieri will be joining us as well as Rabbi Yehuda Trank. So you're all invited. And so will Nachman Fried.
Thank you very much.
We saw it or we learnt it. I don't know if it's Reb Nosson, I couldn't find it. Where he says, one hira tshuva of someone that's either a balavera or that's not in a good place is more chashev by the Rebbeinu Shalom than like 1,000 tefillos of a tzaddik.
Wow.
So I have to find it.
I have to ask.
Unbelievable, blows your mind.
No, yeah.
And I think it's Shmuley quoted it.
Thank you.
From here?
Move on, right?
Until we just spread it somewhere. That one movement of someone that's not in a good place is more than.